Okay. I apologize for going a little out of order and assigning Makoros, but I realized there's a line here that was so fascinating and relevant philosophically and practically that it would be worthwhile to look into it at least for a few minutes, which is...
But you said enough 10 minutes before lift benching.
It's enough time to print it out and read it over Shabbos. In the context of the Shakla Vitaria here, we have a line which, you know, in our sugya alone would seem not so remarkable, right? What's the hava mean to have a lower standard of tradition that maybe Tovas Hanah, Rashi says, just the happiness that you gave my money, you gave your money to someone else, would be enough for Kiddushin, enough for Mechel Memkar. Because it's a Nichla Bakoldu, a woman will take anything, like Rish Lakish says, Tov Mesav Tundul Mesav Armalu. Rashi says that means better to live two bodies than to live a spinster, an almana. Better to be married than to be single. Taka, better to be married than to be single. Sounds reasonable enough. I mean, I know, even nowadays, the world is very different than it was those days, but girls feel a lot of pressure to be married and not single. And b'choldu nichalahu, nichala, Rashi says, koldu bekinyan kolshu, even a small kinyan, even a Tovas Hanah. Okay, so a woman, she doesn't need a big money, she even a Tovas Hanah. Doesn't seem like a very big chiddush. However, in other sugyas, it seems like more of a chiddush, because what kolduhu means, Rashi here says, in the context of our sugya, interprets it locally, koldu means even a small kinyan like orev, you know, which is not manish handing over money. But it's clear in other sugyas and shas, koldu is not referring to the money or just an orev versus actually getting a ring. Koldu is referring to the husband. But koldu nichlu, she'll take a kolshu husband. She'll take any husband, right? This is the stereotype, right? A desperate woman. She'll take any husband rather than none. Better any husband than single, right? Anything's better than singlehood, right? Better dead than single. That's what makes it sound like here. That kolshu means she'll take any husband, because the other sugya are not talking about whether she'll want a real money of kiddushin or a din ariv of kiddushin. They're talking about how she picks. And we find, right, we do find this concept four other places in Shas, we find that a woman will settle for a kolshu husband, because better married than single, apparently there's this big dachaf, there's this big pressure on a woman to get married. And what are these four other places in Shas? Kiddushin, Daf Mem Aleph, is talking about the difference between a man who sends a shliach to get married and a woman who sends a shliach to get married. A man can't send a shliach to get married to pick him a wife. I can send a shliach to a specific girl who I've already picked, but I can't send a shliach without checking out the girl, because when I marry her, I might not like her. I might think she's ugly, and then it'll be bad for shalom bayis, and I'll violate yahapluyach kamocha. But the Gemara assumes a woman has no potential isser in sending a shliach to pick out a husband for her, because whoever the shliach picks, she'll be happy with, because tov leisam tani leisam armalu. So a man who gets a random wife, we suspect will dislike her, will be dissatisfied, but a woman who gets a random husband will be very happy, because tov leisam tani leisam armalu. So this is saying, isha shesholcha shliach lekabel kidusheha, right? Titratzeh be baal. She'll accept the husband, right? Because, because Tov L'Meisav Tandu. Sounds like, right? We have a principle. A man is picky about who he marries, but a woman will marry anyone. The other place this comes in Shas, Yevamos Kufyat Kesem and Aleph. Yevamos Kufyat. No, I'm in base, I think. In general, you've probably learned from Elmai Amad Aleph's and base in the Makor sheets are not always Dafka, but I think it's really Amad base. This is Mizake Get B'makom Ptata. Mizake Get, nothing to do. I'm not getting to this politics now with the Get Mitzvot, where they were did zochen on behalf of the man. Here we're talking about the old-fashioned classic sugya in the poskim, zochen on behalf of the woman. This is even done sometimes, even nowadays. Right, the woman's not around, so a guy is zochen on her behalf to accept the get. So if there's a fight between the husband and the wife, and the husband says, I want to divorce my wife, we're in a fight. She's not around. Here, you, take the get for my wife. Can you be zochen on her behalf? Is it a chus for her to get divorced? Obviously, it's not a chus for a stam woman to get divorced, but if there's a fight, maybe it's a chus for her to get divorced. The verse says, no, it's not a chus for her to get divorced. It's not valid. You know, if he gives it to her, that's one thing. But it's not a chus for her to get divorced. You can't just act on her behalf and say, I'm sure she wants to get divorced, because it's tavlo meisav tamdu. So even if she's in a fight with her husband, she wants to stay married, mazaki get, doesn't work. Right? It's not a chus. Another case this comes up is Ksubas Abayin Heyam and Aleph. That's talking about someone who got married on a Tanai that you had no mum or no neder. Right? And it was discovered that the spouse did have a mum or did have a neder. But they fixed it. They went to a chacham or matur the neder. Or they went to a doctor and a plastic surgeon and fixed the mum. So, is that a valid marriage or not? Okay, there's a whole discussion, the details, etc. One thing is very clear. The Brisa says, if the woman fixed her mum, then it's not a valid marriage. The husband claimed mekach doesn't get out of it. But if the man fixed his mum, then it is a valid marriage. Why? Why is the man unhappy to have a woman who once looked ugly? But the woman's not unhappy to have a man who used to look ugly? The answer is tov l'meisav tamdu, because it's better to be married than single. So this is a case where kiddushin I want to be more specific in emphasizing the difference between men and women. Right? So this is a blind shidduch. This is the case of blind shidduch, al yidei shliach. Right? What do we assume? The man might reject his wife. But the woman will accept the husband. Right? Even a blind husband, the man might reject, the woman will accept. Second case is not a contrast between men and women. This is Yevamos. What do we say? We say a get b'makom k'tata. Here we're not talking about the man's side, but we decide it's not a zechus for the woman. Right? Even though she's in a fight with her husband, it's not as close to receive a get. She likes to be married. The ksubos. This is talking about the case where al-minas she'ein alecha mumin. This is the case where there's a tanai of no mum. Right? Meaning, maybe they wouldn't have minded, but it was a tanai. If you make a tanai, you're serious about it, right? Or nidarim, al-minas she'ein alecha mumin, or nidarim. Right? So, v'halach lerofe v'ripa osom or osa. So what do we say? for the mum of the woman, it's a mekach tos, or not a mekach tos, but it's a tanai, right? For the mum of the woman, ain a mekudeshes, because the husband's makbid. But for the mum of the man, mikudeshes, the wife's not makbid. Even though she said you don't have a mum, if he fixed it, that's okay. He fixed it in the end. It won't work out in the end. Because tov l'meisav tamdu, she has lower standards. Where else do we see this? In Bava Kamma. Bava Kamma, daf, kof yud, kof yud aleph. This is a case where there's a very difficult case for many reasons, because it's a case where you could like back out of a transaction based on what happens later, which Tosfos already asked is ridiculous. I understand. I sell you a stock, and then a month later it goes up. I can back out of the transaction because if I'd known it was going up, I wouldn't have sold it to you. Obviously, there has to be limits on this, but Tosfos gives limits. But the principle is, the Gemara is discussing there, I was only mafresh the chatas because I thought I would get kapara. If I'd known it would get messed up, I wouldn't have given it. So the man says, then anytime a woman agrees to marry a man and he dies, and the yavam's a mukashrin, she should say, I would have never gotten married if I had known you would die and leave a yavam mukashrin, so you can vatel kiddushin. Mara says, no, she's still happy to get married. Tov l'meis of Tandu. So this is Mace v'hiniyach yavam muke shchin. We say she still would want the marriage. Because Tov l'meis of Tandu l'meis of Arbalu, in two of these sugyas, Yavamus and maybe Yavamus and Ksubas, the Gemara even goes on to say all these funny, you know, even if the husband is an aunt, he is proud to have him call her, you know, from the doorway and appear with him. Even if the husband is a nothing, she puts her seat in public and shows him off. And then the Gemara ends with something very cynical that, you know, which were apparently pitkamim amam yid, right? There were all these pitkamim in these days, the goop, you know, whatever. Even if the husband is an aunt, she shouts from the rooftops, look, I have a husband. Right? And then the Gemara gives a cynical comment. Why were all these people happy to have such terrible husbands? Kulam mizanis v'tolz b'aleihem, because, remember, this is the days before birth control. This way they can do as much nus they want. Right? In the old days, why would you not do nus? Well, even the old days and nowadays, there are people with Yerushalayim who don't want to do a meiros. But let's say you have no Yerushalayim. So in the old days, what would keep women from doing nus? They're afraid of getting pregnant, and then they'll get caught, and then they'll be in big trouble, right? Like the Scarlet Letter. But if they have a husband, no problem, because everyone will think it's the husband's kid.
There's no DNA.
And there's no DNA testing in those days, right? Everyone will think it's the husband's kid, right? In those days, everyone looked the same, right? There are no interracial, whatever. Everyone lived in a shtetl with people who look more or less like them, and you can always blame it on the husband. Okay. That's a cynical view of human nature, but it is an advantage of being married. If she's not married, then she can't have her sexual satisfaction because she's always afraid of pregnancy, right? There was no safe abortions in those days either. But if she is married, then she can do whatever she wants and have someone to blame it on. Now, the interesting question becomes... Here the Gemara seems to say, Tav l'meisiv tandu mi l'meisiv armalu, right, that a woman's happy to have any husband, right? Because it's better to be together than alone. B'choldu nichale, right? Rish Lakish says, a woman's happy to have any husband. This becomes a little tricky. Is it really true that a woman's happy to have any husband? It seems to be a little funny. Like, we know, we look around, and it seems to be that women are very particular about who they will marry. You know, even though women feel a lot of pressure, they don't just marry anyone who proposes to them, right? They only marry someone good. And the Gemara has lots of cases of a woman, right? Who people came and proposed marriage to her who were not hogun, right? And she refused. And even a woman made a neder and says, I'll marry whoever proposed to me. The Chazal said, of course, she only meant someone hogun. She didn't mean anyone. I mean, it seems clear that throughout Jewish history, even not in the modern era, like a woman wouldn't necessarily marry anyone. It seems to be a little bit of an exaggeration. What's pshat? Does it really mean a woman would rather have any husband than nothing, or is it perhaps an exaggeration? This seems to come down to a machlokes rishonim in a few places. I think I noted here. Well, let's just look at the Shvus Yaakov for a second. There's a famous Shvus Yaakov who dealt with the question, which is apparently a common shaila. A woman got married to a man, and he kept from her the fact that he was impotent. He kept from her the fact that he could not engage in bia. Right? So he had this serious problem. So, and then he disappeared, left her in aguna. So could she claim makartos? Right? That's the Shvus Yaakov's question. And he answers very, very clearly. He says, in any case, it's a valid kiddushin, and she can't claim nekach tos. Why? Because b'chol du nikola. Because she would like any husband. She's happy with any husband. She can't claim I wouldn't have married him if he had known he was a Sris. If I would have known he couldn't engage in bia, I wouldn't have married him. No, she's happy with any husband. As Rashi says in our sugya, tov l'meisiv tandu, says Rashi, afilu ein lo seves b'yama, just to keep her company. She's happy to have someone to keep her company, to have someone to be a, so she could be a missus. She's happy, even if mamish, there's no marital intimacy there. And likewise, he says, meaning, what's the point? She can't even have sexual satisfaction. Oh, well, she's happy, just have company. And the Gemara Yevamos, right? And Ksubas, now she can be mezana with whoever she wants. When she was single, she couldn't be mezana. Now she can be mezana, and she doesn't have to worry about getting pregnant, because he's not going to tell everyone his problem, right? He's going to keep it a secret, so everyone will think it's his kids. He'll be happy, and everyone will be happy. Right, he'll be happy to have kids because he knows he couldn't anyway. So whatever, better that he'll live with the situation, and she'll be happy. So therefore, he says that we cannot matter her without a get, and she's an aguna because you can't say mekach taus by kiddushin for the woman. For the man, you can. You can't say mekach taus by kiddushin because tov may have time to, because there can't be a mekach taus for kiddushin. She's happy with anything. That is the Shvus Yaakov. Yes?
It's very difficult in the Gemara. I mean, the fact is that she's getting married to be a cover for his own snoot.
As the Beis Halevi says, it's very difficult because, what do you mean? Most women are moral people who would not do. I don't doubt there are some people in the world who do everything, right? There's some people in the world who get married as a cover for his snoot. But it's hard to imagine that's the normal case. What about Cheskes Kashrus? What about what about fine Bnos Yisrael who are Yirei Shemayim? It seems a little funny, and it also just seems a little funny that really a woman would want to get married to anyone, right? It seems to be going a little far. Okay, so let's see whether these Gemaras really prove that, or whether they don't really prove that. So number one. Do these Gemara really... Now, keep in mind, what does the Gemara say? Tav l'meisav tandri l'meisav armulu. Better to be married to anyone than to be single. But of course, there is another option. The other option is to wait for another guy, right? It could be if you're on a desert island, and there only is the last man in the world. You know, this is right. Movies, the girl always says, if you were the last man in the world, I wouldn't marry you.
No, no.
Okay, that talker, Reish Lakish would say she's lying. If he was the last man in the world, she would marry him. But he's not the last man in the world, right? It seems a little funny. Like, she could have not married this guy, and she could marry someone else. After all, what's the case of Shlos Yaakov? Why does she want to get? She doesn't want to get because she likes the calligraphy. She wants to get, she can marry someone else. there are more fish in the sea. So how is it that at the time she got married, if she had known he had no gvuras hanashim, then she would have said, there's more fish in the sea. So what's really shot here? Meaning, granted, I'll take Reish Lakish's statement literally. Better to be married to anyone than to be single forever for the rest of my life. But does that really mean that it's better to be married to anyone right now? Maybe it's better to have my options open, which is what we would all think intuitively, and what makes sense to us in common sense.
Well, that makes it, you're just throwing Reish Lakish at the ultimate thing. I mean, he's right.
Okay, so let's see. Let's see the Gemara in Baba Kama. In the Gemara in Baba Kama, what seems to be the machlok between Rashi and the Maharan? What is the kolduhu here? Let's think about, what's the kolduhu? Right? What is she accepting? So in the case in Kiddushin, what is she accepting? She's accepting any man who might turn up, is she really satisfied with any husband? Can you really say... a woman is satisfied with any husband. So, in the Gemara Kiddushin, it sounds like she sends her shliach, whatever husband she gets, she's going to be happy with, right? We're not worried about v'hafta l'orecha kamocha. Really sounds like she's happy to marry anyone. But, on the other hand, she agreed to send the shliach in this case, and she was samech on him. This wasn't a random case, right? Meaning the Shvus Yaakov, what do you think, there's a riot for the Shvus Yaakov or not? Yes. Or no? So here, right, you could say,
Right, Nicha.
She'll take anyone. But on the other hand, it's not necessarily such a good proof for the Shos Yaakov because in this case, she wasn't taking anyone randomly in there. She was sending a shliach and giving the shliach instructions, samech on the shliach. So maybe in this case, that, no.
The Gemara doesn't say that.
Give me a second. In this case, she made an informed decision to rely on the shliach. In this case, she made an informed decision to rely on the shliach. That doesn't necessarily prove that in a stam case, a woman would accept any husband. That, like, if you fooled her and gave her someone who was mukashchen or a sris or whatever the case may be, this just means that if she made an informed decision, she stuck with it. Where might we see this? If you look, for example, I apologize, in Daf Aleph and Aleph, you know what? Can I ask for a volunteer, please? It's only fair that the young people should do their errands and give out the makaros. If you look at the fourth makor on this page, the Tosfos says, "Asher la'adam sheikadish his bitok sheikatana." The Gemara later says, "It's asher for a man to mekadish his daughter when she's a katana." Right? You know how al pi halacha we discussed it, right? Right? But it's it's takeif, it's valid, but it's asher. You're not allowed to do kedushei katana. The avgav damer le'al, why? Because she might not like the guy. That's what the Gemara says. You're not allowed to do kedusha on Shabbat like this. Yes, Tosfos, V'yavgal d'amar le'el v'yisur elect v'yishad d'tav l'meisav tandu. Didn't we say there's no problem with a girl marrying someone she doesn't know? Tav l'meisav tandu, she'll take anything. So what's the problem? Even kaddish your daughter of Zuketana? Hani mila b'kedosh, she's kaddish al de'atzva. D'chem esin es ratzeis lekel l'meichah shematatzer. That's only a gedola who made her own decision in her own sound mind and agreed to marry whoever the shlich would pick. We're not afraid she'll change her mind. A ktana who has no das in the matter, who doesn't get to pick. Maybe she wouldn't have liked the guy if she's a gdola. Meaning Tosfos in Kedush Dafim Aleph basically takes this approach. Tosfos says, Davka gdola. Only a gedola who made a decision we assume would be satisfied with whoever she gets, because she made an informed decision. But a katana wouldn't be satisfied with whoever she gets. Why would a katana be satisfied with whoever she gets? Since when does a woman want anyone? No, a woman only wants good people. Only wants a good husband. Not anyone. However, if you contrast that with the Rashba there, the last marker on this page, same dear Maskel, right? You're not allowed to mikadosh your daughter until she grows up and likes the guy. Okay, why does she have to like the guy? Don't women like anyone? Aren't women satisfied with any husband? First, he brings Tosfos. Only adults, since she wasn't makbed, then she, in this case, made the decision that she'll take anyone. But a katana, maybe, when she grows up, she'll want it. Inami. What's interesting about the Rashma is not that he first said like Tosfos. Inami. Ika lemeimer de katana. What's the problem with the katana? It's not that she really won't like the husband. What's the inami? Maybe someone will whisper to her bad words about the guy. And since she's daita kala, she's the ketana and does not have a strong mind, tispate, she will be convinced that the anyone will fight with him and hate him. What is this inami saying? Taka, even the ketana really is satisfied with any husband. The only problem is, I mean, if she was on her own, even a katana who had no say in the matter would be satisfied with any husband. The only problem is, since she's a katana, if there's some guy who wants to make tsaris and starts telling her bad rumors in Lashon Hara, and she's not smart enough to realize that she shouldn't listen, then he can convince her to be unhappy with her husband. But this inami, the Rashba is assuming, even mamish, a blind husband, the father picked someone totally against her will, she'd be happy with him if no one corrupted her mind. Meaning any woman of sound mind would be happy with any husband. It's only, and even a katana would be happy with any husband. She'd be happy when she's 9, she'd be happy when she's 10, she'd be happy when she grows up and is 12 and 20 and 30. Why wouldn't she be happy with any husband? It really sounds like this was Yaakov. Just a katana, someone could take advantage of her and convince her to dislike her husband. But she really likes her husband. Left to her own devices. So this would be the Rashba in the Inami says, really, even a katana on her own likes any husband. What? You don't see that in the Inami? He's saying, what's the problem? Why would she ever dislike her husband? If someone corrupted her by whispering her things when she was too little to understand not to listen. But it sounds like by default, she would never dislike a husband.
But also, without having somebody whisper to her, she can whisper to herself.
No, of course she won't, because a Gedola knows that any husband is good. Okay, now I'll prove it to you.
Okay.
Who remembers the Rashba Lishitase and Daf Hey? Remember Ishus, we don't find Balkarcha? What was everyone's kasha? What do you mean we don't find Ishus Balkarcha? Isn't the husband Mekabel Kedusha for his daughter Balkarcha? And what did the Yesh Matartzim say for Rashi? That when the husband is Mekadosh his daughter, that's a called Balkarcha because she's happy to be married. No, that was the reason. She's happy to be married. So, what's the kasha? Is it really true that her father's Mekabel Kedusha for the daughter, she's happy to be married? What if, remember, from Daf Gimel, what if he marries her off to a Menovelum Kashchen? So is she happy or not? So look at the top of this page. Uvetosos Matartzim, this is Chazara. B'divrei Rashi Zal, the Kesef Kedushin Mechopa lo Chashiv Balkarcha. It's not Galkarcha when the father does Kedushin Mechopa for his daughter. The Mestama Meinach Nichalei, because Mestama, she's happy to be married. Right? But selling her is an onus. For Rotsanav onus uchashu v'gavi yidah, k'di aminim perga maybe get shlik v'gavol namay askim v'karcha, sh'kein avim kabal get v'dekhan v'karcha, v'kashali. How can you say she's happy to be married? She'ay moser nara l'mluvim l'kashchen. She'ein la shchin la'onsa v'shavachas. How can you say she's happy to be married? He can marry off to a menuvim l'kashchen and she could scream. How can you say she's happy to be married? Of course she's not happy to be married to a menuvim l'kashchen. So he rejects this pshat. The pshat was that there's no kedusha balkarcha because she's happy to be married. Says not true. She's unhappy to be married to a menuvel mukashchen. Says the Ritva for the same thing. The Tosos how you matarts in the stomach the melsa be kedusha nichala umi died to who? Avol mecher no nichala. Stop kedusha. She's happy and it counts as if she agreed. But to be sold as a shifka, she's not happy. Vam galkarcha. Lo nehira shari afchi nara bas das mosu le menuvel mukashchen ba filu tzavachas. Because even when she's old enough, he can marry off to Menovel Mukashken and she screams. And it's obviously not considered. She's not happy about it. So they're about to read for say, well, obviously you're not happy to marry Menovel Mukashken, says the Rashba there. Vitirtsu betosvos. The Kesef Kedushin V'chopa Lochashiv Balkarcha. The Anin Sadi Dominion Nichli. We are Aiden that she's happy to be married. You never have kesef in Isha's Balkarcha, because the father can't marry her Balkarcha, because she's always happy to be married. You can never have a chup Balkarcha, she's always happy to be in the chuppah. Can't he give her a novum lukashchen? Even if she screams, she doesn't want to. No, even if she says, I don't want to marry the novum lukashchen, and the father marries her to novum lukashchen, she's really happy. Right, Kid Rish Lakish, Dummer Tavla Mesetan and Lisa Armalo, like Rish Lakish says, Dummin Bivano, Shili Isha Rabba, Mazak Yet Lisha Makam Tata, Mahu Basigna Tavla Mesetandu. We are mean to Shushna Gar reports to be Harasa Ramala, Tanakum Zanas Fosva Layam. Even in Menom Lukashkin, even when she says she's not happy, she's really happy. She's just in a mood. But she's really happy because no one's happy to be married to anyone. The Rashba really seems to have an agenda here. Right? Like the Shvus Yaakov. If you'll excuse my anachronism, that a woman's really happy to be married to anyone. Right? She's happy to be married to anyone. Even if the father marries her to Menuvel Mukashchen and she is kicking and screaming all the way to the chuppah, she's kicking and screaming down the aisle, nonetheless, she's really happy. She's just in a mood. Because why wouldn't a woman be happy to be married to anyone? B'choldehu nichala. After all, worst comes to worst. If they don't get along, she can be mazana and tola v'alehem. The Rashba seems to take this very seriously. So here we have Kedusha Nem Aleph. Okay. And here we have And I think the Rashba is l'shitase. Here we have kiddushin. Daf hey amid beis. How about menovel u mukashchin? So the Rashba says meinach nichola. She's very happy to marry menovel mukashchin. Even if she says she's not, she's very happy. Well, the Rabban and the Ritva say no. That's called balkarcha. That's called balkarcha to marry menuvel mukashchin. You can't answer like the Ish Vitartzim that it's considered, it's not balkarcha because she agrees. Because she agrees, Prince Charming. She doesn't agree menuvel mukashchin. So now, this Ramban and the Ritva maybe don't prove much of anything. If she's so omedes and so vachas, then obviously we listen to what she says above any chazaka. But the Rashba is striking. The Rashba really takes Rish Lakish so seriously. The father says, I'm marrying off to menuvel mukashchin. She says, no, I don't want to. She really does want to. Maybe that would fit the Shmos Yaakov. She says, I would never wanted to marry this guy. No, you really would have wanted to marry this guy. Because after all, tough the mace of tundu,
the
mace of
armalu. From the Rashba on Agalah, don't you see that her omid, Mugdovitz, and Vachas, is able to overcome the idea of tough the mace of tundu? Like, the whole idea is that if a katana goes and says, wait, no, I don't want that, and that he's believed to have overcome that azaka. Yet, from the Rashba on hey, you see that
he
can't.
No, what they're only saying there, in his inami at least, is that if someone fools a katana into thinking that she's not happy to marry to anyone, they can like cause her strife in her marriage. But she doesn't really not want to marry to the guy. She was just fooled into it because she's a katana.
I remember when you said, when I saw that Rashba, I might be probably wrong, but when I saw that Rashba, the first one, I understood that because it was the katana that she has no das, even when she's screaming and yelling, we don't care what she thinks.
Which in daf hey?
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I see that.
Okay, I state she was bedover. First of all, okay, even if it's true she's a katana, still, she's 11 years old. Let's say she doesn't think anything. She's really happy to be married to menuvel mukashchin. That's still a big chiddush. It's just as big a chiddush, even if you're right. So the Rashba was assuming a stam woman is happy to be married to a menuvel mukashchin. That sounds like a big chiddush to me, no?
Unless she says no.
What?
And she's happy unless she says no. And
that's still a big chiddush.
If the Tanu says no, we don't care what she says.
Okay, but what that would mean is that if she married him and then afterwards discovers that he's a menuvel mukashchin, she would need a get, because we assume she would have been happy at the time when she didn't say anything. All else being equal, she's happy. That would still lead you to the Shmos Yaakov. Now, let me just bring this through another few sugyas. Yevamos. Is Yevamos a good proof that a woman would really be rather be married to anyone? That she would gladly accept any husband? Yevamos is not a very good proof. Why? Because if we take Yevamos, first of all, for the Shmos Yaakov, it's very nicha. She's happy with anyone, even if she's in a fight. But it's not a very good proof, because first of all, why isn't this a good proof that a woman... Why isn't it a good proof that Shvos Yaakov? By the way, let's keep in mind, this Shvos Yaakov is not like just some nice theoretical thing. This is like Maisim Chol Yom. You ever read Igros Moshe, right? These are tragic cases that happen every day. This is a tragic case, right? The woman got married, discovered the husband was completely impotent. Right? They had a big fight, and he said, that's it, I'm running away. And he disappeared. She was 18. Now it's been 5 years they haven't been able to find her. She's 23. She wants to move on with her life. And she's a Mekach Tos. Give me a break. This is so unfair. And the Shmos Yaakov says, it was not a Mekach Tos. Tav l'meisiv tundu. You were really happy to marry him. Oh, why now are you saying it's unfair? Now you changed your mind because, you know, you had a change, you know, because, I don't know, say you changed your mind about something. But at the time, you would have gladly married him even if you knew about his impotence. That's a big finish. Is it proven from Shas? He says, look, get b'makom tata proves you'd rather be married to anyone. Is that a good proof?
Well, who said he's impotent? Maybe she just likes to fight.
First of all, a k'tata? What's a k'tata? K'tata might not be so bad. After all, people fight sometimes, right? So that's not necessarily such a good proof. Just because she's happy to be married b'makom k'tata doesn't mean she's happy to be married in the face of serious problems. After all, who knows what a k'tata is? You know, sometimes it's a personality thing. Sometimes people fight, and that's the end. They're getting divorced. They're going to hate each other the rest of their life. Sometimes people fight every Monday and Thursday and make up every Tuesday and Friday. You know, it's not necessarily... Again, I don't know what Chazal mean by k'tata. Tata doesn't mean that he's in jail. She called the police on him. Tata means they fight. Okay, a fight is not the end of the world. You can make up for a fight. Right? And then it's all better. This guy, you know, you can't make him all better. I mean, I don't know, maybe nowadays we could, but the state of medicine in those days, they couldn't make him all better. So that's not a very good proof. Right? Ektata is not a serious pagan. It's not like you discover he's not right to be a husband. It's not really a mum. A ktata is, okay, Poseidon, so we have a fight. And we're still interested in being married. Not the end of the world. Not to mention the fact that there's certain inertia. After all, a lot of people would be very comfortable staying with their current spouse, even less than ideal situations, because they're used to him, because, you know, they have a certain pattern of life, because it's convenient, etc. Just because someone has a fight with their husband after 30 years and wants to stay with him doesn't necessarily mean she'd want to marry anyone in the first place, right? After all, right? Sometimes it's worth this. What are they? Any economists here? No, an economist would tell me that you can't judge based on sunk costs, right? Okay, but sometimes it's worth staying together after you pick the guy and marry him, you had kids together, whatever, even if you have a ktata. That doesn't necessarily prove that you would marry anyone in the world. It's just so therefore, a ktata is not a serious begam, and they may have been married a long time. And everyone knows, once you're married a long time already, so it's more worth it to stick together because maybe there aren't more fish in the sea at this point, maybe you have kids together at this point, it doesn't say how long they've been married. You know, after all, there is some basis. So I don't think that necessarily proves that a woman would marry any guy in the street. Just proves if you're already married, someone had a fight, you might want to stay married. That's not so crazy. I think I would say the same thing.
But between getting married for the first time versus divorce, I might not disagree with Shlosh Yaakov.
Yes, because Shlosh Yaakov was arguing whether they ever meant to get married in the first case. Right? The guy disappeared right after they got married and ran away. He's arguing whether it's a mechatos. He's not arguing whether you're kofen lahotzi. Mary says at the end, after kofen lahotzi, but that doesn't help because he's not here. Okay, how about ksubas? After all, if the guy has a mum, she wants him anyway. Doesn't that prove that a woman wants any guy? So is that a good proof for the Shlosh Yaakov? That she'll take a guy even with a mum? What? Yeah! Here, he doesn't have a mum anymore. What does this just prove? This just proves that a woman doesn't mind remembering the guy used to have a mum. Right? That's so crazy. Meaning, you know, I think if you ask a woman nowadays, they'd probably say the same thing. What if your husband used to have something really, really ugly? Would you not want to be married to him if he now looks nice? Well, what do I care? You know, what's the big deal? I understand the man might be finicky. He might say, no, she didn't. If she at first didn't look like a supermodel, then I can never get that image out of my head. I can't be married to her. It's a very shallow man anyway. Okay, but you meet it tonight, about a month, so he must be. Let's say, what do I care? Mevchana tozaot. You know, facts on the ground. He's a good guy. What do I care what he used to be? That's not very strong proof of anything. How about this case? Let's go to Baba Kama Daf Kuf Yud Aleph. Is this a good proof? After all, this is Taka Menuvla, not Menuvla, Mukashchen. Okay, bad enough. This is Taka Mukashchen, right? Taka, she's marrying Mukashchen. What happened? Her husband died. Now she's a Yavam, and she's going to marry the Yavam's of Mukashchen. Right? The Chor, the case is not where the Yavam went through Chalitza. Then Shalom Yisrael, who cares? What's the big deal? Right? So let's say now she's going to be stuck marrying Mukashchen. So does this prove Tav L'Mesiv Tandu, Milamesiv Armalu? Does this prove that Shvus Yaakov, she's even happy to marry a Mukashchen? Is this a proof she's even happy to marry Mukashchen?
What? This doesn't normally happen.
It doesn't normally happen, but she knew it could happen, meaning men die without kids. It's not like a space alien.
There are other tragedies in life, too.
Okay, but still, she might have thought of this. By the way, you should know, this is a big deal in the Rishonim. If you look at that Mordechai is in the middle of the biggest deal in the Rishonim. The biggest issue in the Rishonim is not Mukashchins. You know how you deal with the Mukashchin one way or the other, right? That's the big deal in the Rishonim was Mummer, right? Keep in mind, in the days of the Rishonim, Mummer didn't even mean he's a Chiloni. Now, Tainak, that brother's a chiloni, you work it out somehow, right? Mummer meant he converted to Christianity. That's what Mamar meant to the Ashkenazi Christian. Right, in the Ma'ariv Rami, Mamar means he's mamish in church. Right? This is very pushy. You can't marry the guy who's a Christian and go convince the guy who's a Christian to do chalitza. No. Hey, I'm a Christian. I don't do these, you know, it's against my principles to, you know, fulfill these Old Testament commandments. Right? So then you're really stuck. It was a really tough matzah from the brothers of Mamar. And it's actually interesting, not for now, but you know there's that Ritva and Yevamos Masada Rav Kook? Like, two volumes like this? Yeah. With the Ritva is not any longer than the Ritva on Kiddushin, just the footnotes are. Yeah. So in the back is a number of essays. One of his essays, 15 different svaras from the Gaonim, the Rishonim, to Pater, the woman from Chalitza, one of the brothers of Mamar. Because this was, you know, this was really a difficult like, going to case with no resolution in those days. So the big question is, what do you do in this case? So, one of the tzadim was, maybe you could say she never meant to get married. And if Aaron will say, but tragedies happen, whatever. Okay, some tragedies happen, they're not preventable. This tragedy is preventable. Maybe she had a mind, she only wanted to marry him, if he wouldn't die and leave her with a yavam who's a mower. And not to mention that in the old days, the problem was, you know, recalcitrant yavam was never the biggest problem. Whatever, you work it out somehow, right? It's not like recalcitrant husband. Recalcitrant husband, and nowadays, modern urban issues, that's emotionally loaded, and that's hard to work out. Recalcitrant yavam, we always managed to work out, so he didn't want to do a chalitza, so he committed to do a chalitza. What does he care, really? The problem is he did the yavam mumor, or the yavam Medina Sayam. Not nowadays. Nowadays, Medina Sayam is next door. But once upon a time, the yavams in Medina Sayam, we were stuck. Even in America, it was a big problem. In America, in the, 130 years ago, what would happen if the yavam was in Europe? Or the yavam was in America? You know, there were no planes. So anyway, these are very serious issues. Very serious issues also. What about a yavam who's a tinok, right? So these were very, very serious issues in those days. So it went back to Bava Kamma. Could you say, right, she never meant to get married if she knew she'd be stuck like this? Or maybe not, Tav L'Mesiv Tandu. So here it comes down to a machlokes. What is the koldehu in Bava Kamma? What is the koldehu in Bava Kamma? Right?
This is really different than Mechlokes, because there's nothing wrong with the guy himself.
Ah, okay, who says that? Or at least implies that very strongly? Which Rishon? In Bava Kamma, says, well, in this case, the guy himself was worthwhile. Look what Rashi says. Rashi's matriach himself to say in Bava Kamma there. Okay. What does Rashi say? Rashi, basically, the question is she happy with the Mukashchin called the who? Or is she happy with the first guy called the who? Who is the called the who she's happy with, right? Yeah. Who is the called the who she is happy with? So what does Rashi say? Rashi says, sorry. Liskadish l'rishon shu shaleng. She's happy with the rishon shalim. Al safik zeshim yom zovim. Even though it's a safik, meaning, of course she's not happy to marry Mukashchin. Give me a break. Meaning, if she wants to, she can. But you can't assume a stam girl is happy to marry Mukashchin. Obviously, you can do whatever you want. It's a free country. If it's worth her while, she can marry Mukashchin. There's nothing illegal. But we're just talking about a stam person, right? Maybe they pay her a lot. Maybe she loves this Mukashchin. Who knows? But a stam person, of course a girl wouldn't marry Mukashchin. Of course the Rashba's wrong. Give me a break. She would never want to marry Mukashchin. But the question isn't marrying Mukashchin. The question is marrying this guy and having a good life with him. Or potentially having a good life with him. I don't know how long they were married before he died. Tosfos assumes not very long.
She seems to have children.
Right. She's worth it for to marry a good husband. Even though there's a slight chance that it might get messed up, it's worth it because she is a great husband. And you know what? Like Aaron said, anything can happen. She can marry great. What if she married a great husband and chas v'shalom, you got into a car accident? And I'm not going to say chas v'shalom, everything that can happen. Anything can happen. But it's worth it for her to marry a terrific husband. And if anything can happen, she'll take her chances. You know, in life, you take her chances. What if something happens to her? Who knows? You know, what if the Romans take us all as slaves? You know, and the Churban HaBayis? Who knows? So the answer is, you take your chances, and you do the best you can. So Rashi says, and this is clearly how the Trumas Hadeshin understood the Rashi. Rashi, the Beis Halevi quotes of Trumas Hadeshin, says, the Baal Rishon who is Shalei. That's the Kol Dehu. Okay, but what does the Maharam say? The Maharam says that who's the Kol Dehu that she's happy to marry? The Yavam, right? The Yavam's the Kol Dehu. Because the Mukashkin is a Kol Dehu. And therefore he says, that's because the Mukashkin is a Kol Dehu. But if the Yavam would be a Mamar is less than a Kol Dehu. Why? Because the Mukashkin you could be married to. Just a Kol Dehu. A Mamar, you can't even be married to a Mamar. You can technically have a Halos, but you're not allowed to be married to a Mamar. Right? You're not allowed to be married to a Mamar. And therefore that's less than a Kol Dehu. So says the Maharam, and this is the Pashut Shad of the Maharam, the Yavam Mukeshchen is the Kol Dehu. And therefore, what's the Nafkamina? Nafkamina between Rashi and the Maharam, as it seems to come out of that Mordechai, Nafkamina Lemachlokes Beperosh HaGemara Bavakama is, what is the Kol Dehu that makes it worthwhile for her? Is it the Baal Rishon, or is it the Yavam? What's the Nafkamina? One Nafkamina is, as it seems to come out from that passage in the Mordechai, Nafkamina, what if the Yavam, perhaps at least, what if the Yavam is a Mummer? What if the Yavam is a Mummer? If you say she's happy married to Baal Rishon, then she's happy to marry the Baal Rishon. She is willing to take her chances. She can take her chances on a Mukashkin. She can take her chances on a Mummer. But if you say, no, it's that the Baal Sheni is a Kol Dehu, then you could say, maybe then, she's not Mekudeshes. Maybe in that case, Eina Mekudeshes. Why? Because a Mummer is not even Kol Dehu. A Mummer is less than Kol Dehu. You can't marry a Mummer at all. When you can't do anything with a Mummer. You can't go live with him. And I'll go live with a Christian. So maybe a Mummer is less than a Kol Dehu. And that's at least at first how the Beis Halevi understands Rashi.
Would Einu Yor Kechetz, what would be worse than impotent would also be worse.
Right. Right. Now, notice he's machalik. Any yorik chetz might be better than impotent because any yorik chetz is capable of bia, just not capable of having kids. So that's. But nonetheless, you're right. Let's come back to that in a second. However, what is the Radach and his pshat in the Maharam seem to say in Rashi? Right. In the end, the Beis Halevi concludes something else based on the Radach and based on the Maharam. He says, "What's really the kol dehu? What's the maskana of the Beis Halevi?" Beis Halevi, Alpi, the Radach, and the Maharam, not Pashas of Rashi, not Pashas of the Maharam. What does he say you need to make it worth your while? Says you need both. A, there is first the Baal Shalem, and B, even in worst case scenario, he's a Kol Dehu. So that's, he says, no, it's the Baal Rishon Shalem, and the Yavam Kol Dehu. He says only if you have both factors are worth her while, meaning if she just had a Baal Shalim, but the Yavam was worse than a Kol Dehu, she wouldn't have agreed. If she just had a Yavam Mukashkin, but didn't have a Baal Shalim, she wouldn't have agreed. It's only if she has one good husband and one passable husband that is good enough, and this is the only combination of both. The only reason it's worth her while, it's not worth her while just to have a good husband and then be stuck. No, it's not worth her while to have a Mukashkin husband. It's only good enough, worth her while to have a good husband, and then even in worst case scenario, at least a Mukashkin is worth something. And this is the pshat of the Beis Halevi, based on the Radach. The Nafkamina might be, so one Nafkamina might be, that, although here discuss whether Mummer counts the Kol Shehu or not. Right? So, and that's why I said maybe here. So, if it was just like Pshat and Rashi, just the Baal Risho made it worth her while, if just the Baal Risho made it worth her while, then no matter what the Yovim is, even if the Yovim is Medinas Hayam, even if the Yovim is a one-day-old baby, no matter what the case is, it's worth her while to be married to a good husband. However, if you say, no, it's worth her while to be married to Mukashchin, or it's only worth her while to have a good husband, and plan B at least a Mukashchin, that's at least if the Yovim is worth something. If the Yovim is worth nothing, then maybe it would... maybe it would not be Mekudeshes. Although, he points out, there seems to be a chlok sarkon whether Mummer counts as Kol Shehu or not. The other nafkamina, of course, is what about a Baal, let's say a Baal Mukashchin, right? A Baal Mukashchin, and she was unaware. What about the Shvus Yaakov's case? The Baal has a mum and she was unaware, right? The Baal Mukashchin, the Baal has a mum and she was unaware. What would you say? Say the Pshat and Ra, what would you say about that case? The Baal is Mukashchin, the Baal has a mum and she was unaware. What would you say in that case? If the Shvus Yaakov's case, right? What about the Shvus Yaakov's case? So, if you say the Kol Dehu is the Baal Rishon, that's because he's Shalim. She would never agree to marry a Baal Mum. Then you for sure say, Eina Mikudeshesh. She would never agree to a Baal Mum. The sugya in Bava Kamma just means that the first husband is Shalem. She's willing to take her chances on the slight odds he'll die without kids. But she would never want to marry a whole husband who's pogum. But if you said like the Pshashim Shad of the Maharam, then you'd say like the Shvashim. Mekudesh is, yes, she's happy to be married to a Mukashchin. So basically, the machlokes in the sugya, I made it complicated by this middle possibility. The reason is because that's how the Mesa Levi paskened. But what's the Baal Kol Dehu? Is it that she's happy to have the first Baal who's healthy and normal? Or she's happy to have a Yavam who's Mukashchin? The Rashba would say she's happy to have a Yavam Mukashchin. The Shvus Yaakov would say she's happy to have a Yavam Mukashchin. So then this would work with Fi. The Pashtos of the Maharam, which is she's happy with the Yavam Mukashchin. Yeah, according to the Pashtos of the Maharam, she's happy with the Yavam Mukashchin. That's a good proof that a woman is happy to get any husband, even if she didn't know what she was getting into. But if you take the Pashtos of Rashi or the Radach and the Beis Halevi, no, she's only happy with a Baal Shalem. She's happy with the Baal Shalem. That's worth her while. As far as taking her chances, you know what? In life, you take your chances. And the Pashtos of Rashi is that she's happy with the Baal Shalem no matter what chances she's taking. And according to the Radach and the Beis Halevi, she's happy with the Baal Shalem as long as, even if she took her chances, she would get a Kol Dehu. But she's not happy to marry a messed up guy. So here we have Machlokes. What does this mean? This sounds like a good raya for the Shvus Yaakov. Right here it says, she's ending up with a Yavam Mukashchin, and she's happy with Kol Dehu, she's happy with anyone. Sounds like the Shvus Yaakov. But not so Pasha. That depends what makes her satisfied in this Gemara. If she's really satisfied with the Yavam, that's a raya for the Shvus Yaakov. I'm happy to marry anyone, even a Mukashchin, as long as I can have an MRS before my name. But if you take Rashi, Chas V'Shalom, she would never have wanted to marry Mukashchin. She's just happy to marry a good, normal guy, and she's willing to take her chances, because you never know what life may bring. And according to the Radach Beis Halevi, she's not even willing to take her chances unless even the Yavam is at least worth something. So this is a very, very fundamental machlokes. The Beis Halevi goes a little further and says, and then makes a lamdish chiluk. The Beis Halevi goes a little further and makes a lamdish chiluk against the Shvus Yaakov. So here we have, here, no, we'll begin Beis HaLevi. The Beis HaLevi is really the champion of saying that's ridiculous. A woman would not want to marry a Baal Kolshu. And he says, we see all over that women don't want to marry anyone. Women only want to marry a good guy, only a normal guy. And especially, they're not going to want to be mazan and covered up, because most women are moral people. Only minority of women are so immoral. So it's the Beis HaLevi versus the Shos Yaakov, an ancient, not ancient, but going back to the Achronim. And the Shos Yaakov was Migdoli HaAchronim, the Shos Yaakov. This is not an obscure shot. Shos Yaakov is one of the most respected shot, and he wrote many Perushim, which are printed in our Shulchan Aruch, right? Like the Torah HaShlamim, and the bottom of Hilchas Nida, the Mechas Yaakov, and the bottom of the Ramaz Torah Chatas. I think he also wrote the Chok Yaakov in Or Chaim. Okay, so this is a fundamental machlokes. Who is?
This was Yaakov. We have the Ritva, the Ramban, Rashi.
He doesn't quote any of these Rishonim. Interestingly, he doesn't quote any Rishonim. You know, what he does is quote Rishonim who I would have thought were irrelevant. Like, for example, he says, we see a Sris has Tfisas Kiddushin and needs a get. That proves that even if he's impotent, you know, there's still Kiddushin. He says, and even though you might say that's only if she knew what she was getting into, not if it was a toast, says, no, I think it's either way, which does not seem to be very well founded. It's funny. The Rishonim, the Makoros he quotes are not so impressive.
Except,
and he doesn't quote the Rashba. He really, the best thing he has inside is a Rashba. The best thing he has on his side is a Rashba. No one quoted the Rashba. I haven't found one shot in this actual sugya in Ebenezer Ezra who quotes this Rashba. It's just since we're learning Kedushin, so I remember the Rashba. From Daf Hey. No, it hasn't been that long. From Daf Hey to Daf Zion. But no one quotes this Rashba, although the Rashba is the best Raya for the Machmirim. But none of the Shuts quote the Rashba, even though he's the best Raya for the Machmirim. Okay, the Maharam is also a bit of a Raya, except for the fact that the Maharam might have the middle Shita, in which case, he's not. Halacha l'maisa, let me just point out three things, and then move on. Number one, the Beis HaLevi actually... The Beis HaLevi actually makes a lundus against he doesn't quote the Shos Yaakov by name, he just says many achronim, if I recall correctly. He makes a lundus against the Shos Yaakov. He says that, here he makes a lundus chiluk. He says, what's the difference between the Shos Yaakov's case and the case in the Gemara in Bava Kama? He goes even further. He says, even in the case in the Gemara in Bava Kama, she's probably unhappy. Says the Beis HaLevi, he says, what's the difference between the Shos Yaakov's case? This is the lumdus of the Beis HaLevi, right? He's the Beis of Brisker. Or at least the progenitor of Brisker. He has to have some lumdus. He says, what's the difference between the case of the Shos Yaakov and the case of the Gemara in Bava Kama? The difference is, the case of the Shos Yaakov, the problem is in the husband. The case in the Gemara in Bava Kama, the problem is in the Yovam. What's the difference? Here, the pagam is in the baal. Here, the pagam is in the yavam. If the pagam is in the baal, I got something and there was something wrong with it. What halachic category does that fall into? Mekach tos. This is the category of mekach tos. I got a baal and he wasn't what I thought he was. Mekach tos. I bought a car, it was a lemon. Right? I bought a cow and it was a bull. You know, I didn't get what I wanted. In the case where there's a pagam in the yavam, that's not a mekach tos. I bought a baal, I got a baal, and he was the same baal I thought. Just, there was a side problem. Okay, why should it be bottled just because there's a side problem? You can't say mekach tos if there's some side problem. I got what I intended to get, right? I bought exactly what I intended to buy. I just didn't realize there would be a side problem. I understand. You sold me... You sold me a fancy car. I bought the fancy car. Then afterwards, I realized that where I live in my neighborhood, people are jealous of my fancy car and they hate me now. Okay, and that's not a mekach tos. You sold me the car you said you sold me. It's just a side problem. When would a side problem be vatal mekach? If I'm in a tanai, right? I'm buying this on condition that it doesn't lead to anything bad. So this is a din of tanai. What's the difference, says the Beis HaLevi? In a mekach tos, do you need to say that you don't intend to do a mekach tos, or it's automatic? This is automatic. It's automatic In a t'nai, is there automatically a t'nai everything I think? What's the rule? What if I for sure meant a t'nai? Let me give a theoretical example, not that it appears in our Masechet or anything. I sell my house in Teaneck, and I'm sure in my mind it's only because I have been set up to make Aliyah. Only because I have a job in Eretz Yisrael. And it turns out the job in Eretz Yisrael falls through. Can I take my house in Teaneck back from the purchaser?
Only if you
made t'nai. What if I... But I knew the t'nai in my mind. What's that sugya called? It's a case. Nothing big. Dvarim shebeleivinim dvarim, right? Dvarim shebeleivinim dvarim, says the Beis Halevi. Here you say, no. Dvarim shebeleiv einam dvarim. Unless, what's the exception to dvarim shebeleivinim dvarim? In what case can a t'nai be valid even if I didn't say it? If it's so obvious, it's umdir de muchach, or as some of the Rishonim say, dvarim shebeleivo leiv kol adam. Unless it is an umdina de muchach, unless it's obvious that I intended that t'nai. So what's the Gemara Baba Kama saying according to the Beis Halevi? It's not saying she's really happy to get stuck with this mukashchen. What's it saying? It's just saying, according to Beis Halevi, what's it saying? According to Beis Halevi, the Gemara just means that we're not, it's not 100% clear that she didn't want to marry him. It's not saying that we know she would have wanted to marry him. All it's saying is that it's not 100% clear she didn't want to marry him. And if it's not 100% clear she didn't want to marry him, even if we're 90% sure that she didn't want to marry him, still, Dvarim Shulivinim Dvarim, you can't claim a t'nai. There's no Mekah Tos, it's only a t'nai. And you can't claim a t'nai unless it's 100%. So according to Beis Halevi, it's not that we really think she would want to marry him even. It's that we're 90% sure she wouldn't want to marry him. It's just that you can't make a t'nai without saying it unless you're 100% sure. Otherwise, you should have said so. So that's the Beis Halevi's lundus. He says that not only does he think that, not only does he think that in that Gemara Baba Kama, it's only because you had a good husband and because even if he died without kids, the other guy was worth something. He says even that we're 90% sure you wouldn't have wanted. It's just you can't add a t'nai without saying it unless you're 100% sure. Okay, that's the lundus of the Beis Halevi. Let's get back to Halacha L'maisa, and then we'll just go to Halacha L'maisa and contemporary applications.
I just want to talk about Ketana because we think that she's
going to shock
you, that's only to me that we know
better
than her what she really wants.
I think it's because we know better than her, which is a big chiddush, tremendous chiddush. Okay, Halacha L'maisa, what does this come down to? Halacha L'maisa, this is in very many modern day cases. As a matter of fact, I'm not getting into politics, but if anyone followed American politics, I mean American Ebenezer politics, I don't mean Trump, that there was a few years ago a certain get in America a certain heter in America by a certain rabbi in Philadelphia, where this came up. The husband refused to give her a get. She claimed, there's so many things wrong with him. If I had known at the time, I would never have married him. And a certain rabbi was mad to her to remarry without a get because of Mekah Tos, because she would never have agreed to marry this husband if so much was wrong with him. And Rav Moshe Feinstein passed this on many occasions, and not everyone liked it. So, let's just go to the Halacha L'maisa. Halacha L'maisa, Rav Moshe Feinstein. Let's say you discover there's something wrong with a guy. Now, clearly, it has to be something really wrong. You know, the guy, has a wart in the wrong place. We're not going to assume that everyone will be mocked on. You know, no one's perfect. But let's say there's something that, again, I'm not talking mumin like it said in the Mishnayos and Ksubas, what you can have a taina on for this small mum, that small mum. Let's say something really bothers a normal person, right? Let's say there's something really wrong with him. Let's say he has mental problems. Certainly, we all have mental problems. I mean, like real ones, right? Like ones you could be locked up for. I don't mean like all of us. Let's say mamish, like the guy's schizophrenic and if he told her, that's she's mocha. You can marry anyone. But he didn't tell her you're schizophrenic, bipolar, on serious meds. I don't mean ADD Ritalin. That's Rove. I mean, like, his, or he was gay. Or you know, he was not from.
He belonged to the mafia.
You know, or, yeah, okay, that wasn't the case, but it could have been. You know, all these cases of, like, things that, or, Shvos Yaakov's case, Gvoras Anoshin, right? Or maybe he, you know, maybe even if he could do a little bit of a bia, maybe if he can't have kids, he should have done that, you know. All these cases, there's something objectively, seriously wrong that a normal person with common sense would say. You know, not like, oh, maybe you could tie it up, but, like, with common sense, you could say that you wouldn't have wanted to marry him. So what would you do what would we paskin in such a case? Yes?
Don't you have to bring in, some of these cases that you mentioned, you have to bring in the shittat of the Gaonim, the achicha of the mitzvahs. I mean, the shittat of some of the Gaonim...
No, because the shittat of the Gaonim, achicha of the mitzvahs only applies to Yibum. Here we're talking about Kiddushin. I mean, the shittat of the Gaonim that Pater Yibum and Mumar was a special in Yibum. Yeah, in Yibum, but I'm not talking about Yibum here. I'm talking about... The more common cases nowadays are kiddushin and aguna cases. You know, either the guy the husband refuses to give his wife a get, or he disappeared or whatever, or you know, maybe he's so crazy that he can't halachically give a get, or so crazy he ran away, no one knows where he is. You know, these things could happen, or he just doesn't want to give a get. This is my simcholiga.
What about this case in Tzfat?
Right, the case in Tzfat is trickier because you can't claim Mekach Tolos there, because there was nothing, he was an accident. There was nothing wrong with him at the time of Kiddushin. So that's not going to help. Meaning, it's not going to help if an accident happens to the husband afterwards. Because you can't say Mekach Tolos, meaning, for whatever reason, we can't say based on what happened later. No, it has to be something there now. Like, the brother had to be a mummer at the time. You know, you can't say the brother becomes a Mukeshchen. No.
If you're going to be Hoshesh, and you want to make Tanaim, so maybe some Tanaim are more realistic and some are less, but it's just a matter of degree.
Right, no, but let's go back. If you're going to be Mekach Kedusha based on what happened later, then that's not Mekach Tos, right? It's not Mekach Tos what happens later, right? Everyone knows if I sell you a stock and it goes up later, I can't claim Mekach Tos. That would be together Tanai what happens later. And a Tanai, you'd say Dvarim Shalayin or Dvarim, and therefore we're not going to get too far with that. But let's say there was something wrong with the husband at the time. You had evidence at the time, first of all, like this case of Shvos Yaakov, like you're Megala at the wedding night, right? Or even if you're Megala 2 years later, but you could find proof that the problem was around at the time, right? You find his medical records that he was already diagnosed bipolar beforehand, just the family did a great job of hiding it from the shidduch. Or, you know, you find, you know, proof that, you know, he was sleeping with men beforehand, or that he was, whatever the case may be, or that he was not from beforehand. No, you know, at the time, there was a serious, or he had some terrible terminal illness, which he knew at the time. Again, to discover someone in genetic predisposition, that's everyone, you know, that's life. But let's say Taka, he had some terrible cancer and he didn't tell her, because he didn't want to ruin the shidduch. Right, so what about these things? And you could prove that at the time it was a Mekach Tos. The Shvos Yaakov would say, no, you're still stuck with him, because Tav L'Meisav Tandu had a weak Paskin. So L'Meisa, we Paskin, Halacha L'Meisa, what if you have a serious problem? So, we Paskin, Psak Halacha, Rav Moshe is Mekel B'Makom Igun. Okay, and when it comes to question of Ashes Ish, Matar woman without a get, no one that I know of in the postgame has ever Matar woman without a get if you could do a get. Meaning, if the husband is here and wants to give a get, no one's going to say, don't bother, we have grounds to be Mekel. You always want to be extra Matar and Ashes Ish. The question is always, what if the husband can't give a get? Because he's refusing to, or because we don't know where he is, or because he went crazy, or because of whatever the case may be, you know, whatever tragedy might have occurred. So, Mokum Egon, the poor person, the Shvos Yaakov says, Mokum Egon, and he felt very bad for leaving Mokum Egon, but in his halachic opinion, you know, there's such thing as an akeda, that you have to follow the halacha, even if it's very difficult, and even if it seems unfair to us, you still have to follow the halacha. Okay, that was his halachic opinion. The question is, what's our halachic opinion? So we paskin Rav Moshe and mainstream of the modern-day poskim, I can't speak for every single one, but the mainstream of the modern-day poskim, is that we're mekel for two reasons. Right, the psak halacha is that, you know, if you have a mum gadol in the husband, that was around the Shas Kiddushin and that she didn't know about. If she knew about it, then she can't say Mekav Tos, right? That was present B'Shas Kiddushin and undisclosed. Right, okay, no, we don't think it's that, and undisclosed. But it was a mum and the husband, not in the, you don't need a mum and the mucha, it's not a mum and the yavam, it was a mum and the husband, that's mekachtos. The answer is we say mekachtos, halacha lemaisa, she is muteres, mishom mekachtos. Why? For two reasons. Number one, because of the Beis HaLevi. Because we really pass like the Beis HaLevi. That you can play Mekotos, and that even though Tov Mesa Tov and Mesa of Armalu, it doesn't mean a woman will settle for anything. It just means, and our Gemara means very little, she'll do Din Arif. It means if she made a decision to rely on a Shliach, she'll stick with her decision. Okay, that's because she made an informed decision. It means that if she has a fight with her husband, she might still want to get married. Okay, because he's a good husband and they just had one fight. It means that if the husband had a mum and fixed it, she doesn't mind. Okay, because he fixed it. And it means that she's willing to marry the greatest guy in the world and take her chances that maybe he'll die without kids and she'll be stuck with the brother and she'll deal with that when she comes to it because most people don't die without kids. But it doesn't mean she's willing to marry a bad husband. No way. What a covenant of Mos Yisrael. What a common sense. Of course she wouldn't be willing to marry a bad husband. So number one, we hold like the Beis HaLevi. Number two, the post can say that... That the poskim say that serious problem is worse than mukashchin. After all, what is mukashchin? Mukashchin is that he has a lot of boils. Okay, you know what? It's ugly to have a lot of boils, and it's a big pain to have a lot of boils, and etc. It's still a kolduhu. It's not the end of the world to have a lot of boils. But compare a husband with a lot of boils to a husband who's insane. The husband with a lot of boils is a kolduhu. Husband who's insane is less than a kolduhu. He's like a mummer. He's worthless to gamri. What do? Ain't no dar nachash b'kfifa. You can't live with someone insane. The husband who can't even do bia, and not the shos Yaakov. Then, I mean, that's less. The guy who kashchin can do bia, just you have to get over the shchin. This guy, hakol yodin lamakal nechras b'chupa. Now, I know you can have a halachi kalos, even though the guy's a stress, you can have a halachi kalos kiddushin, if you so desire. But still, hakol yodin lama kalin nechmes l'chopa. So therefore, is worse than mukashchin, and is less than kolduhu. So those are the two svaris the poskim used to be make, A, according to the Beis HaLevi, any serious woman of the husband. The Beis HaLevi says it has to be a serious woman. It doesn't mean the guy has a scar, the guy has a wart, the guy has, normal things. Okay, women aren't so makbid that their husband has to be a supermodel. But it means if the guy has a real mum, so one Beis HaLevi says, of course you wouldn't accept the guy with a real mum. That's never what Rish Lakish meant. That was a misunderstanding of Shmos Yaakov. And number two, the other misunderstanding of Shmos Yaakov, the Shmos Yaakov thought that kolduhu meant anything. No, maybe even a kolduhu only means like a mukashchin who looks ugly. And maybe there are other bad effects. It's not so clear if the mukashchin is contagious or not. But it could be. Are boils contagious? I don't know what goes boiled in those days. Your father would know this, right? He doesn't do medical history of medicine? Okay, ask him. But it could be the boils are not the end of the world, mukashchin. He's not even a manuvel mukashchin, just a mukashchin. Right? Kubi's not the end of the world. After all, some women are very, very happily married to men who look very ugly and have skin problems.
What does that have to do with Shlokish at all? That has nothing to do with the statement.
Ah! So what is he saying? He's saying that if the Shmos Yaakov assumes koldu means mamish koldu, because you can always be mazana. Right? Then no, the post can say koldu means that mazana is just an exaggeration. The Gaonim say that just means some people do that. That's not the main intention of Shlokish. It just means you'll accept the guy even if he's not perfect. Even if he's mukashchin, but you won't accept the guy who's useless. This guy is useless. Okay. Yeah?
Mimimit of Armalu. That's the line. What does that have to do?
Ah, okay. Here's the basic question. Good. Let me... maybe I wasn't clear. Rish Lakish really says better to be married to anyone than to be single. The problem is, right? The question is this.
What did Rish Lakish mean? The Sharia Karban says this in Yerushalmi. The Sharia Karban says, is it worth being married to Mukashkin? Says it depends. If there's other men you can marry, it's not worth being married to Mukashkin. If there's no one else left in the world, it is worth being married to Mukashkin. So for Sharia Karban and Yerushalmi Gittin. So Rish Lakish for sure says, and I agree with him, better to marry a Kaldahu than to be single my whole life. But is it better to marry a Kaldahu than to be single today? After all, there are more fish in the sea. That's the machlokas. Rosh Yaakov says, better to marry...
That's a meaningless statement, though, because there's always more... the Rosh Lakish doesn't make any sense.
Okay, the Rosh Lakish is just an expression. Then it's
the
an expression.
The expression implies the exact opposite of point number two.
No, okay, you have to ask what tundu is. Maybe some things are less than tundu. After all, Rosh is tundu means company. Some people are not even good for company. Depends on how you look at it. Right? So it depends
what comes as two versus
right.
one.
So this depends, let me make a point. This depends what Reish Lakish meant by tundu. What does tundu mean? Right? This really depends why tundu. If you say, because of znus, then any husband is good. It's an excuse for znus, right? Even if the husband is impotent, you could claim he's potent and do znus. If he means Savsa Bialma, then any husband who you could sit on a couch and enjoy talking to is good enough, even if he doesn't gross anashim, but he might have to be sane, he might have to be from, he might have to be, you know, someone you could be married to. And maybe he even has to be heterosexual, because I don't know, maybe they, nowadays we're very tolerant. In the old days, maybe she couldn't even have Savsa with him. But if you say no, maybe Tundu means he has to be a normal husband. It's okay if he looks ugly. It's okay if he has quirks, if he has foibles, right? Maybe he even has to have tashmish, and that's what Rav Moshe and others assume. No, tundu, it's not enough to have an excuse for zdos. It's not enough to have tzavsa b'yalma. You need to have a marital relationship. Now, we all know, look, I'll only talk about myself. I won't talk about anyone else here, right? You can have a husband who you can have a normal relationship with, who has quirks, has foibles, has mumim, you know, but within the range of someone that you could call a normal marriage, right? People are disabled, right? They're in a wheelchair, and they have a normal marriage, just they have a problem. People have a temper. Now, there's tempers and there's tempers, but people have a temper and they have a normal marriage, and just sometimes it gets a little heated. There is a range of norm. Maybe that's all tundu means. So maybe it means nos, maybe it means safta, maybe it even means a normal marriage. A normal marriage without being picky. And that's what's going on here. If you say it's because of nos, then anyone is totally is a kaldu. If you say it's because of safta, then anyone you could share a house with is a kaldu. But if you say it's a normal marriage, then no, only someone who could do marital things is a kaldu. Do marital things means to act in the same fashion and to engage in tashmish. The fact that some people are more successful at work, some people less successful at work, some people have good sense of humor, bad sense of humor, some people have good midos, bad midos, some people are handsome, some people are ugly. Okay, that's things that we say that a woman's not going to be so machped on. Okay, let me just, yeah.
The mum has to be there
at the time of the Kiddushin. If the mum came later, then there's no Havmina Bekartos. No, because then that would be Bitgeder Tznai, and at Tznai she would have had to say so, or it'd be Umdun and Muchach. It's definitely not Umdun and Muchach.
She was going to leave her as the Umdun and Muchach. She would never have married
her
in the first place.
That's an interesting question. Maybe that's an Umdun and Muchach. If she knew he was going to leave her in Aguna, she would never have married him in the first place. Maybe that's an Umdun and Muchach.
Hakadosh Baruch Hu made her in Aguna. He didn't leave. Commit suicide.
No. I'm okay, but nonetheless, Lamaisa he did. Meaning, you know, we all know that he did. I'm not talking philosophically, just practically. Okay, that's an interesting question. But that gets very tricky because, you know, then it gets into what does it mean, you know, leave her in Aguna, and what are the circumstances, etc. But maybe. Okay, let me just point out historical evolution of this question. Lamaisa, what did Rav Moshe and all those who are continue all this Talmidim there? I've seen lots of Talmidim continue in his derech, be making all these things, and lots of non-Talmidim also who have the same shita. It's not even meekness of Rav Moshe. They all said, Tav lemesiv tan dumi lemesiv armalu. Right? And that's a clown in the Gemara, but we can still be makel in many cases because the Beis Halevi says it's a klal, but it's not a klal, it means she'll accept any mum. And even if she will accept a mum, maybe that's only a level of mum mukashchin, but a worse mum than that, which is less than a klal, maybe she won't accept. And using regular halachic methodology, you can be makel in a lot of cases. What happens is many years ago, the famous Rav RCA speech, Rabbi Rachman came and said he's going to make a bezin from Matar Agunas, which is a very nice idea. But the way he did it was by saying some radical things, one of which is, Tav lemesiv tan dumi lemesiv armalu doesn't apply nowadays. Doesn't apply anymore, and therefore all women are very picky, and therefore it's very easy to say they wouldn't have intended to marry this guy. Okay, lemaisa, you know, he might have been able to achieve his same goals by saying, it does apply, but you just have to know how the Beis HaLevi would have applied it. But he said, no, the world is different, Tav lemesiv tan dumi lemesiv armalu doesn't apply anymore. The Rav lashed out against him. We'll mention why in a second. It wasn't so clear to everyone why the Rav lashed out against him, although the Rav appears to have been correct, not that I'm getting involved in this, and not that I'm necessarily endorsing the ad hominem attacks that I accidentally included on the Makor sheet. Everyone should only read until Ad Kan Lashon the Rav, not the ad hominem attacks that follow it. Or at least if they do read the ad hominem attacks that follow it, they should not know the Gemara that he's referring to. Decades later, Rabbi Rachman, in fact, did make a bezdin from Matar Agunas, and his svaras were very tricky, because he said, well, anytime the man has refused to give his wife a get, he's abusive, which, you know, yesh ladon, exactly, you know, abuse is a very broad word, and if he's abusive, then obviously people are abusive, they were always abusive, and therefore she had known he was abusive at the time she married him. She wouldn't have married him, and it was a mekach tos. So that's very, very difficult, just because, you know, everyone who doesn't give his wife a get is abusive is a very, you know, very big assumption. And also, you have to deny Bechira Chavshis, because maybe he was a very nice person at the time of marriage and then became abusive later. So you have to deny Bechira Chavshis and assume that whoever's mean was always mean. And you have to assume that this level of meanness is a mum that, you know, a woman wouldn't have married him, which, if you don't believe in Tav lemesiv tan dumi, is easier to say. I think it's very tricky. The whole denial of Bechira Chavshis thing is very tricky. That you can... I mean, in modern psychology, it's accepted, right? Everyone who does something was always destined to do that. Like the Rambam quotes the ancient astrologers. Modern psychology has come back to the ancient astrologers, that the stars you were born under, or you know what you saw growing up in your household, determine how you'll treat your wife when you grow up. No doubt that it sometimes has an influence, but I think a healthy common sense would tell you people have a chira chafshis to decide, and especially in all these cases of like you know fights over gittin, like a lot of things happen that could have gone one way, could have gone the other way, and you never know how it could have turned out. It's very hard for me to imagine that it was all kavua mirosh. Anyway, so the Besdin did not really achieve much recognition in the rabbinic world.
Why do we have to look back and say it must have been that he was abusive?
That's what roommate said. Why not say it's an under the muchach that she would never have meant to get married? Okay, so then that gets into another problem, which is that Kedushin al Tanai gets very tricky because of many other sugyas, which we're not going to get into now. It seems to be in the post-Gum assume that you can have Kedushin al Tanai, but once you have Nisuin, you can't have a Tanai, which would be a big problem for this, but we're not getting into this now. Anyway, Lemaisa, what did the Rav say against Rabbi Rachman? The Rav said against Rabbi Rachman, how can you say Tav Lemaisa Tundu doesn't apply? Meaning, whatever it means something. It means women are happier to get married and have lower standards than men. That's clear. The man might reject, but the woman will not. In the same circumstance, this is between women and men, or in this case, same circumstance, different than women, that somehow women are more willing to compromise in order to be married than men are. Right? Meaning men are more picky in shidduchim than women. That's Tav lemesiv tan dumi. Why is that? So, Rabbi Rachman said, that was only in the old days. Because in the old days, the women didn't have social status, and they couldn't take care of themselves, and they couldn't get jobs, and they were looked down on if they were single. So because of the sociology, in the old days, Tav lemesiv tan dumi. But nowadays, when women have equal rights, there's no more Tav lemesiv tan dumi when women are the same as men. That was Rabbi Rachman's chiddush. Of course, you could also have said, according to Shmos Yaakov, in the old days, there was no birth control. So women needed an excuse for snus. Men didn't need an excuse for snus. They couldn't get pregnant. Nowadays, there's birth control, so women and men are the same. No one needs to cover up their snus. The Rav lashed out against him and said, Chas v'shalom, this is called Machish Magideha, this is Kfir in the Mesorah. All the chazakas, the assumptions Chazal made about human nature are not based on the sociology of their times. The assumptions Chazal made about human nature are based on the ontological nature of mankind. That when Hashem created Adam and Chava and said, okay, not creation, but close enough to creation, that part of the story of Brias Olam and Parshas Bereishis is that men are different than women. Hashem didn't say that to the man, he only said to the woman, Veli Sheikh Shukasech Luim Shalbach. But that means that built into the very fabric of men and women is that a woman is more afraid and feels a stronger need even to compromise in order to get married, while a man is less afraid and is less terrified and is less willing to compromise in order to get married. Says that's something that hasn't changed until now and will not change even in 1,000, even in 1,000,000 years. The Rav assumed that whatever Chazal says, chazakos, are fundamental to the very nature of existence and not something that can depend on the time and place. Lemaisa, this is a bit of a Rav Lashitase, because anytime I've heard him talk about any sugya, which seems to be just talking about the reality of a time and place or what tastes like what in your day, etc., he always said it's about some very, very fundamental principle of the nature of reality, right? Tata gavra yila gavra, according to the Rav in your day, are also not about, you know, when a hot piece of milk falls on, of cheese falls on a cold hamburger, what tastes like, what's we call it, what doesn't. It's about what is the platonic form of bishul and what is not. So the Rav definitely had a shita that everything in Shas is really about something philosophical and not just about something that's siastic. That was his approach to Shas. So this is Lashitase in his approach to Shas. However, there's something in the Rav who suggests that maybe nonetheless he really went out of his way here just because he didn't like the way where Rakim was applying this principle and where he was going with it, and he was taking it in a direction that was not halachically halachically defensible. But I heard from the greatest Talmidim of the Rav, I heard from both Rav Lichtenstein and Rav Schechter on different occasions that they really don't understand how the Rav could have meant that. Of course there are chazakas in Shas that Chazal looked at the reality and just saw how people act and were based on that.
The base of labels is.
Yeah, and even in Shas we find chazakas change, right? Ain't on the maze pun of Nebal Chovo. For Rashi, that's why a Kof Brakol doesn't have to swear. Ain't on the maze pun of Nebal Chovo. But in the days of Rav Nachman, they made a Shvus Hesses because people started to be maze pun of Nebal Chovo. Right? So that's a big stretch of the Rav. I think that, again, I'm not sure. Is it that it's a big stretch of the Rav, and it's not the Pashup Shot. The Pashup Shot is that all the Chazakas of Chazal they got from looking at the world around them and making judgments. What does that mean for nowadays? Okay, that means for nowadays you have to look at the world and make a judgment. Maybe it's still true. I don't know. When I was in college age, it seemed to me that the girls felt much more tough when they said Tadlu and Nesim Armalu than the boys. You know, when I talk to mothers, they're much more concerned about Tavlum and Tundu their daughters than if they want older kids to get married to Shal Tavlum and Slachas. So it could be that it's still true, but whether this difference in men and women comes from something in sociology, whether it be economics, whether it be znus, you know, in birth control, which, again, I'm like the Beis Halevi. I don't, and the Gaonim say, that's not the real reason, that's just like a cute thing they added. Or whether it's because of something ontological, I would think that you have to also take into account society, not only, you know, philosophical nature of a human being. The Rav was very, very strong. He said really nasty things about those who think that the chazakas of Chazal can change. Whether the Rav was just upset about this initiative and exaggerated, or whether that was really the Rav's shita, that everything in Shas is philosophical and nothing in Shas is practical, I'm not sure, because, like, on the one hand, the Rav did exaggerate sometimes when he was upset at when someone was doing something crazy. But on the other hand, the Rav did have a shita in Shas that everything is philosophical and nothing is practical and everything is much more philosophical than it looks like on the surface. Either way, the Rav had that unique shita, but what I've heard from the Rav's Talmidim is that they weren't necessarily convinced that he was necessarily held it or that it's correct. And it could be that it is based on sociology. Nonetheless, when it comes to Paschal Halacha L'maisa, you know, you have to be wary and careful and make sure to do it responsibly.
When did they tell you? Mm-hmm. You can still say it's somewhat ontological because you have a different rule.
Oh, correct. You can still say it's ontological. Even when the Beis Halevi can be ontological. Just not ontological. I mean, a katza la katza. Ontological from here to there. Absolutely. The Beis Halevi can be ontological. Just because you're not the Shmos Yaakov doesn't mean it's not ontological. It could be ontological, but ontological within the range of normalcy. 100%. And I'm sure the Rev held like the Beis Halevi. And I'm sure the Rev would have been making a lot of these cases also. Just not, he felt that Rabbi Rachman had a disrespectful attitude towards Mesorah, saying like, you know, once you say Chazal's, Chazakas were based on their days, and saying, oh, Chazal are old-fashioned, but in our world they don't apply anymore, and it's a very slippery slope to, to Kfira, the Rav felt. But, you know. Correct, and the Rabbi Rachman really did go about it in a very radical way, at least. 30 years later, when he tried it again, I don't know what his plan was. That what was at the time. So maybe the Rav, obviously, the Rav knew what he was talking about. Anyway, okay, so Yesh L'Ayin, this philosophical issue, but yeah, the Lomdish issue, absolutely, could be ontological, and you could say that the Shmos Yaakov or the Beis Halevi. It could be sociological, say that the Shmos Yaakov or the Beis Halevi. It doesn't have to be Tali Habaha. Okay, we'll have to pick up in the Gemara here. It's a shame.